Welcome to Crafting Solutions to Conflict, a podcast exploring how to deal effectively with conflict, actual and potential, good and bad. Engaging guests discuss a range of insights, and I cover tips and topics based on my 35-year fascination with conflict and my experience helping people with it. I'm your host, Jane Bettel, and my goal is to share a perspective on conflict that is both practical and positive. My guest today is Cinny Noble, the founder of Synergy Coaching and the creator of the Synergy Conflict Management Coaching Model. Hello, Cinny. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Jane. Lovely to talk to you.
I'm looking forward to this very much. So I will ask you to start by telling us a bit about how you got to where you are today professionally.
Oh my goodness, do you have a year? I've had many iterations, and I think it's a matter of growing my skills, starting as a social worker and then going into starting the first travel agency in Canada for people with disabilities. And that led me to law school, and I became a lawyer, and soon after realized that I didn't really want to practice law, that I wanted to do mediation. And that led me into the field of alternative dispute resolution. And all of what I has been learning so far was building up. And once I got into the field of mediation, I realized I loved mediating. I still do that. But I realized that there needed to be, in my view, a one-to-one process for people who want to do better at conflict. And that led me to the field of coaching. And so I've been spending the last 20 years, most of my time coaching and training people to coach, some mediation, and developed a one-on-one process for coaching people to optimize their competence to be in conflict.
I will ask you, of course, to tell us more about that. But as you know, Cinny, I very much enjoyed taking your workshop to learn how to do the process that you developed and then to go on from there to become certified in that process. What I'm not sure you know, and few other people do know, is that when I went into your workshop, I thought, well, this is going to be very good. I'm sure of that. And when I came out of it, I said, oh, wow, it's way better than very good. It was really just a bonus to find so much and to start to think differently for me and to have some tools that I was just learning but could develop over time to get better at, to really have a different skill set. So thank you.
Oh, Jane, thank you for saying that. That's very touching. And I really remember when you were in class, because I think that when people start to learn and grasp sort of the uniqueness of the model and its development and start to use it and the light bulb comes on, there's nothing better as a trainer and a developer to know and to see that. And of course, for me, you were a star student. And I also think that what you said is, I think people think it is easier, and I think that's because people think they can advise people to do conflict and based on their own needs or what they think is an appropriate way to do it. And I think that the uniqueness of self-determination in this model is what really clicks for people.
Absolutely. So please tell us how you developed it. I know a little bit about that, but I think it's fascinating and it gives some real depth to the foundation of the model. And then we can talk a bit more about how it works.
So I was new to the field of coaching, and because I was saying to colleagues, there needs to be a one-on-one process. There isn't a one-to-one process, because I was observing in mediation that often people go to mediation about issues, but in fact, it has more to do with how they manage conflict and how they communicate, how they interact. And so that led me to the field of coaching, and I took a classic coaching model, which is the person's in a place where they want to change something. And so it's they identify what they want to be or do or improve. And that's sort of the gap in between where they are and where they want to be. And I took that framework, which also includes people looking at, could they have a different perspective on what their issues are, or what they want or what they need. And once helping people look at what could be different, that part of it was a huge awakening for me about how to deconstruct conflict. Mm-hmm. And so I researched through people. So I did experiential research with people who stepped up to talk about their conflict stories, how they experience conflict. And I started to see a pattern, not only about how we experience conflict, but how we can move past it. And that helped me formulate the parts that were in the model. Here they are, here's where they want to be. And the middle, can they get different perspectives? If so, what options do they have to move on and to reach those goals that they start with? What action steps do they need to take? What'll get in the way of doing that? And I took that classic framework and then applied it through research with people who told their conflicts how they could move from where they were to where they wanted to be. So extensive research that I would have to say the study groups were very forthcoming about how to deconstruct their conflict and not so easily able to move to how to reconstruct or construct something different. And that became the coaching.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more, because I was so interested when I first heard about it, about the study groups and how you worked with them to help you develop the model.
Well, the first thing I went to, I was a mediator at many workplaces. And I went to the places that I knew and that they knew me to say, have you got some people? I'd like to do a pilot. You don't have to pay for this. This is what I'm doing. I essentially told them that I think that there is a framework defined for people to self-manage, to become more independent about how they engage in conflict and to increase their competency in conflict. And organizations couldn't hand me enough people, so we were happy to to do that. I was willing to also spend time over a year, in fact, Jane, by the time I was finished the research, where I would coach each person for 6 weeks based on the loose framework I just told you about, and then develop it as I went based on what I was learning about how people process conflict. And so doing is when I started to watch for the patterns that how people tell their stories, and that formed part of the model, which is really about sort of deconstructing how they see themselves and how they observe the other person. And that's been highly successful way for people to figure out how to step into someone else's shoes. And it came from the study groups, and people were very willing to share. And what happened was I met with each person, and then I brought the groups together over a period of time to be able to show them, talk to them, get their input on what they were observing, what they were learning. And I would say I would attribute a lot of the development to their very honest input on what was working and what wasn't working for them.
Oh, that's great. Not only what does work, but what doesn't work.
That's right.
That's important. So how long did it take you as you were doing this work and learning from them to create the model as we know it today?
Well, I would say it was about a year. I started using it for my own purposes because I was already, I had become a coach and got my certification. And I'd started using some of it. I would say, though, it was a good year, a little bit more. And once I learned it, I was so excited about it that I thought, well, I think this is time to pass it on. And so for that purpose, I needed to formulate more like training materials, et cetera, but also to think out how will people learn it.
Yes.
And so that became the next project about taking what I'd learned to figure out how to pass this on. And that took probably another 8 months or so. I worked pretty diligently away at this because I saw the magic in it, for lack of a better word, that I really wanted to impart it to other people.
I would ask you, for people who aren't super familiar with mediation, and some listeners absolutely know everything and others are like, I've heard of that. I'm not really sure how that's different even from arbitration. How would you describe the difference between mediation and conflict management coaching?
Well, it's a good question because, in fact, it's landing in the field of mediation, which is known as alternative dispute resolution, ADR. And the big differences are in coaching, you're working just with one person, and that person is wanting to manage the conflict independently without a third party to sit down with the other person. So mediation would be a mediator facilitator sitting down with two or more parties and facilitating a discussion among them. In conflict management coaching, that person is seeking the kind of assistance they think they need in order to handle the matter themselves and independently. Mm-hmm. And you can use conflict management coaching in tandem with mediation to prepare. So when I do mediations now, interpersonal disputes, I will coach each person before. To some degree, you have to be careful about that because the alliance is very important between mm-hmm. the coach and client. But to maintain my objectivity, it's to prepare people to be in conflict. So you can do more coaching to help people get to that point. Or you can use it after mediation when people are, reeling afterwards mm-hmm. and their resilience is low. Mm-hmm. So I have found many applications for coaching, and they can either be used in tandem with or separately. And initially, when individual coaching came into the alternative dispute resolution world, my vision of it was that there would be people who'd say, I just don't do conflict well, I've got to get better at it, I've got to figure out a way to do that. And in fact, what I've found in the United States and Canada and various parts of the world where I've been asked to train is that most people wait until there's been a conflict before they want to do something. They're kind of hoping it'll all go away. So the preventative piece, which is what I thought I would do, did not take off as quickly as I'd hoped. But since it's been around now, my referrals are much more about usually leaders who are needing to be better at conflict, and they're always in the face of conflict, and they're trying to figure out ways to increase their skills and abilities to engage in conflict.
Sounds like that would be very rewarding, too, to work with people who are preparing themselves before things are in a dire situation.
Well, it's the best. I mean, to me, that's the ideal application of a process that's aimed at optimizing people's potential and being coaching. And I think that it's taken a while for the coaching world has been very effective at getting out the idea of coaching and building coaching cultures and organizations. So some of my clients are like from all over the world who don't have a coach who deals specifically with conflict. Mm-hmm. And can coach by phone or Skype or Zoom or whatever you do. And so as this has expanded, I've been quite tickled about the fact that people are seeing it as a more proactive approach.
Well, tell us a bit more, if you would, about the model itself.
So the model 7 stages, it's CINERGY. So it's Synergy, which is the name of my company. And I talked earlier about the idea of the gap where people come in and this is where they want to be. That's the goal. So it starts with the goal, being clarified, the goal at the very beginning. And without that, there's no journey. You know, any road will take you there, essentially, but it doesn't unless you are really goal-oriented to what is it you're trying to achieve. So that's the first step. And then it moves through the framework I talked about earlier where people identify what would happen for them and then by the third stage, break it down and start to deconstruct what happened and what was underneath it for them and what did they observe happening for the other person. So it takes people essentially from reaction to response by getting people to reflect. And the third stage being named the elements is when they reflect on the elements that constituted conflict for them and what went on for the other person in order to, once you've done that, to be able to look at what are you discovering about what went on there? So you've moved from an emotional piece to a more prefrontal cortex, if you will, to be able to think out, okay, so this was my part of it, and this is what went on for me. And it is a very effective part of the model. And without somebody making a shift, they can't move on as well mm-hmm. to look at the next stage being explore the options. What can they do about it? What are their options for their actually achieving their goal, and why does it work and why wouldn't it work, and be able to reflect on that. And then going into the next stage, which is essentially which is what's it going to look like now. And that's a lot of time spent. It could be weeks. Coaching can go over 8, 6, 8, 10 more sessions, because sometimes these are habits, remember, and so people right. are trying to shift things. So by that stage, they're looking at what do I need to do differently in my life in order to make my goal happen based on what I've already explored. And that's very helpful stage for people to start to make it real. And the G stage is grounding the challenges, which is essentially what'll get in my way of moving on here. And the Y stage, which is done at every meeting, which is really a closure for each. So each session, which may be an hour long max, I find my research indicated that an hour was plenty for people to be going there. So that stage is really about closure and takeaways. And also, and in coaching, many people work on something between sessions because a lot of insight momentum builds up from one session to the next. So it's contemplating, what do I do now in order to move on to the next step that I'm going in the model? Because you cannot do all 7 within one sitting.
No, sounds beyond daunting. That's the wrong word for it, but that's the word that comes to mind. That's way too much. In part, I think, as you've described it, there's a lot that people need to process. These are habits. This is something, as you said, people frequently don't like to think about conflict, and to have to grapple with it is a little emotionally exhausting sometimes, I think.
Well, it is. And I think that's why it couldn't possibly try, even expect of someone to think out all of that in a session. And I think it's for people who come through training and who think that they can do it, it often comes up, well, I only have, you know, three sessions. And to undo habits and to have people think differently takes time. And people work between sessions, whether they actually do literally some kind of task. Once those seeds are planted, there's a lot that happens. And it's so common that people come back and say, you'll never guess what happened. Or, you know what I was thinking? They've been going through self-discovery all the time.
Marvelous. And I can imagine that sometimes you were in a position to watch the light bulbs going on in their heads, either through their voices and what they say or actually seeing them. And sometimes they've done that on their own and then report it to you.
Right. And I talked earlier about the self-determination. It's a process that really relies on people making their own discoveries without the coach saying, reframing and giving their input on what they see as happening. What I find by doing that, so if someone has an insight, rather than me saying it, if I say to them, what just happened there, then they get a chance to hold it up and to look at it rather than me repeating it. What I have found is the beauty of that is that the more that people can rely on their instincts and think about what they've just observed or experienced, the better they'll be. You know, I don't need to have a job coaching them forever after. And so the more if people start to trust their instincts and what's going on and their insights, insights can fall off pretty easily. So it's how to grasp them, and I leave it up to the client to do that.
I think that plays in beautifully to what seems to me to be one of the key priorities in all the work you're doing, which is to help people build their competence.
Mm-hmm. Their conflict competence.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's something, I think even that mindset is not common with everyone, to think that, oh, I could get better at this natural part of life. Oh, shucks, maybe I can.
And the other thing, yes, and I think the other thing is that a lot of organizations particularly will teach conflict management. And my experience is that that is not how people actually learn their own idiosyncratic ways of managing conflict and what they want to do differently. It is not been what I've seen successful. I used to do it myself, and now I can see that without having some way of doing their own work over and over and to examine it and to have insights and to use them and apply them, I think it's a much more useful process than training can be.
I heard the word idiosyncratic, and it seems so important to me because I think there are people who are very knowledgeable about conflict resolution work and have said to me certainly, oh, so conflict management coaching must be all about effective listening and active listening. And I said, no. No, actually, it's a little different from that. It's trying to help people from a different perspective. How would you respond if someone said that to you? Oh, it's the same as active listening.
Yes, well, people say that all the time. I think what I've learned is that anything that helps people experience conflict better, that I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And I think if certain people have certain ways of doing it, I would not discourage anybody from using that. What I have found from coaching is that there is much more durability if you help people help themselves to figure it out. So that solution focused on them without it being up to the practitioner, I think has worked amazingly to watch that once people gain some confidence, they'll ultimately gain some competence.
That's very interesting. That makes perfect sense to me that once people feel I can get better at this, mm-hmm. that helps them on their own journey of getting better at this.
And the other piece is, you know, we somehow have this thing that we don't always pay attention to, which is adult learning principles. People come with a whole lot of possibilities. They may not have been using them in their way they deal with conflict. Doesn't mean they haven't observed or know or want or can actually state, this is how I want to be, and then work towards it. And that's on them to do it, not on the practitioner. So that's the part that I think I find very exciting and interesting. And it's where I've seen people make significant changes in their lives.
So what would be, in your mind, the obstacle that would hold someone back from trying this approach to dealing with conflict? How do they not just, oh, gee, raise my hand, I want to try this?
Well, yeah, a lot of things. I think one is that in organizations where I work, I think that people have not always referred appropriately for coaching and that people think it's remedial and punitive rather than developmental. Mm-hmm. But I think a developmental approach is like really an important part of this. Also, I think change is hard. And I think that conflict is hard, and it's super emotional. And the idea of being able to do something differently doesn't come naturally, especially if you're in an emotional state. So the first part of the model is meant to help people start to shift that over and to put it somewhere in order to look at the repurposing all of that to a way forward. I don't think that's a very easy thing to do. And I've been on the receiving end of this on purpose in order to find that out. And I think if the angrier you are, more upset you are about something, the harder it is to let go of in order to shift and manage more effectively and be perceived the way you want to. But I think we don't usually ask the kinds of questions, because the big skill in coaching is questions. And I think we're not used to asking them, and we're not used to answering them. Mm-hmm. So I think the difficulty is for people who are also embarrassed that they're part of it, their contribution to conflict. And there are some challenges to that, and that very much goes to the importance of the coaching relationship and developing the kind of trust that's important for people to be comfortable enough to disclose how they know that they were part of it all.
Mm-hmm. And at their own speed, I would imagine, and at their own depth.
Well, that's right. And that's why it can take weeks and weeks. And I've got clients that I've had for 3 months at a time and longer because of the amount of conflict they're in and the various habits they have developed that are not serving them well. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty important identification just there.
Do you find that people will go through the process with you once, or do they ever come back for a refresher?
You know, it's not so much a refresher. It might be a different conflict or a different trait that's happening in their way to manage conflict that they want to deal with. So lots of repeat clients and lots that figure it out and move on. And so I would say the people who come back are usually people who are like, you know, have a lot of people at the senior level in organizations where, you know, 1 week it's the fundraisers, the next week it's the board. And each thing, and it could change from, you know, every 6 months there could be a turnover, and there is something or somebody that's precluding the person from being as conflict competent as they want to. When people come back, it is usually for something else, or something different that's happened or that they've identified isn't working for them.
But they have realized the benefit they got from the process when they went through it the first time.
Well, luckily, yes, that's right.
They wouldn't come back.
It works.
What do you see for yourself? Do you see yourself sticking with this model, tweaking? What other things have you been involved with? I know this is a very big piece of your work, but I know there are other pieces as well.
Well, so I also run an advanced program which deals much more with behaviors than disputes, so that people are trying to look at their behavior differently, which consumes a lot of my practice. And I'm thinking about doing more of that training. But I'm also looking at a pre-mediation coaching, which I've done and I've talked about, and whether or not to develop that more. I'm always giving thought to, and I think if I had a store, it would be called Conflicts Are Us. I have a conflict frame on just about everything that I look at. So is there another way of doing it? And it occurs to me that we in our field of ADR have not done a great job, really. I mean, lots of great things, but the biggest thing that occurs to me is that helping people be in conflict, normalizing conflict, how to do that. That's a huge thing on my mind a lot. I'm very reactive. So I'm thinking about what does that fit for me? So haven't quite got there yet, Jane, but I'll let you know.
I will be listening, because I think that would be another terrific contribution to people, because they are the ones who are affected by conflict. Those of us who work in the field, that's one thing, but we're all going to experience it one way or another. We might as well get as good as we can at dealing with it in a way that doesn't damage ourselves and others too much.
Right.
That's the challenge. Well, this has been so fun and interesting, Cindy. If people would like to learn more about your work and would like to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I guess the best place is the website, which is www.synergycoaching, C-I-N-E-R-G-Y, coaching, all one word, .com, in lowercase is fine. There you can find, I've got a blog that goes out every 2 weeks on questions, conflict mastery questions. I have two Twitter accounts, Conflict Mastery and Synergy Coaching. Both of them are readily available and active, and LinkedIn, my name. So lots of ways. And I think the website is a place to direct anybody to that, and the books that I've written on coaching as well.
I will, of course, put those in the show notes and people can check it out there. And I certainly highly recommend subscribing to Cindy's blog. Very practical, very concise, useful ideas that will land in your inbox without a whole lot of effort. So thanks so much, Cindy. This has been a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the Crafting Solutions to Conflict podcast, please share it. Leave a rating or review. Subscribe through one of the major apps. For anyone new to podcasts, here's something you may not know. Subscribing is free. You can also find the show at craftingsolutionstoconflict.com. Comments or ideas? Let me know. Until next time, I'm Jane Bettle.